That's all. Take your seats. Good? How awesome is the magazine? You can actually do me a favour, though. Can you do me a favour? Not read it while I'm speaking. Because I'll feel rejected. I would probably read it while I was preaching, but anyway. No, don't read it right now. And it's something you need a cup of tea with. I think that's what you need, to have a cup of tea, nice biscuit or something, and just read it. I love it. There's something so beautiful about when powerful words, because we do a magazine, and I tell you what, it's been such a, I always say it's a blessing for you, but it's actually meant to be a tool to actually share Jesus with someone else. And I got so sick of being in the shops and seeing New Idea and Woman's Day. I mean, I don't even know how they get away with the rubbish they actually print, you know. I thought, imagine having a magazine that you could take to your doctor's surgery, your hairdresser, and go, hey, could you just leave this here in the waiting room? And I kind of, we always pray over ours. I think we should do that right now. Can you hold up your magazine? I've got a real conviction about this, because this is yours, but I always believe it could go somewhere else as well. And so I want to pray over every magazine right now. So Lord, I thank you for every magazine that's been released into the hands of women today. But God, right now, you're going to send it to places it needs to go. You're going to get the word to women who need to hear it. So Lord, I pray, anoint these magazines, Lord God, to bring salvation to people's lives, and let them be your tool of evangelism. So Lord, right now, I pray for an anointing, and even to speak to the women today, even as they've read it, that they would even have someone in mind straight away that they could give it to today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You didn't tell us. How can we get more copies? Okay. On Sunday? You need to buy some. I always say, there's one for you. Now buy someone to be a blessing to someone else. I went and got my eyebrows done, as you do. It's so funny. You have to have a lady for everything these days. It's like the nail lady, the eyebrows lady. As you get older, I need more ladies in my life. And I walked in literally to my eyebrow lady, who just says, if you touch your eyebrows one more time, I'm going to kill you. You know, I went, I know, but I just see a hair and I pluck it. Sorry, guys. I walked in and I said, hi, how are you? She goes, I've had an awful day. And it was really interesting, because that day I woke up and I bundled all our magazines. I think we have four or five editions now, different editions. And I bundled them up, tied them in ribbon. And I felt God just say, give her this as a blessing. And it was interesting. The conversation started literally, there's just so much bad news in the world today. And I went, well, I brought good news. And it was just a God moment. And I can't underestimate, there's so many times it's really hard to share the gospel or good news. But when you go, hey, here's just a magazine, I just want to bless you with it, it opens up the conversation to so many things. So I encourage you, use it as a tool. And all of you got that as a gift. Now you all need to go and buy one. At least. I could be unashamed of this, because I am, it's so funny, we have them as well. My husband was reading a magazine one night and he's looking at me, goes, this is amazing. I went, I know. And he goes, like, this is really good stuff. I went, I know. So have some boldness and courage and actually go and minister this week, buy one, and have a thought about who you can actually deliver it to, and just say, hey, just wanted to bless you this week. All right. Okay, I like to tell my kids, and being the mother of boys, I like to tell my kids I have a bit of a superpower. Being a male-dominated household, we're probably be a long time a male-dominated household, I need this superpower more than any other that I've ever could imagine. And this superpower that I have an ability to find things. And in a household of all males, let me tell you, it's a pretty useful superpower. They can't find anything. It's quite a funny thing. The things I've had to find, you know, we had the daily dilemma of like, where are my socks? Where are my jocks? You know, my poor son's 16. So funny, the things that stress him out in life. My mum was gracious. I was sick a few weeks ago. And my mum came and took all the dirty washing and then any clean washing. So she thought, I'll wash and then I'll fold at home. The only problem was she took literally everything, and my son was like, I've got no clean undies. And like that just tipped him over the edge. It was like, yeah, but they will be clean. He goes, I can't live like this. I went, oh, that's a good thing probably. So we're always in search of things in our house. And yeah, Paul always has this thing. My husband has lost everything. Like everything. I always joke, it's just not worth buying you good stuff because you'll lose it. And that sounds really harsh. So we have this thing, anywhere I go, you'll see me, we'll sit at a cafe or go to someone's house. I go, keys, wallet, phone, keys, wallet, phone, keys, wallet, phone. He goes, got it, you know. He taps every part of his body, he's got it. Funny story is we actually lost... on our honeymoon, we drove we on the Gold Coast and we drove a little car because we couldn't afford. We had this little Daihatsu, I don't know, what are they, Mirage or what are they, Micro or something. I don't know, one of those tiniest cars you could ever see. We drove it up to Noosa just because we could because we were from Adelaide. And I remember we went out on the beach on our honeymoon and we lost the keys. And, you know, I thought that was probably a glimpse again early on in life, like the first few days. This could be a part pattern of how I do life. And I remember even back then I went, I've got to just ask the Holy Spirit to help because this is going to be, you know. So even now I've learned. I used to tear the house upside down and go, oh, my gosh, we've got to find it. And I would actually get so stressed about this. Now Paul lost something the other day. I've lost my wallet. It'll turn up. You know, I don't even care anymore, you know. I don't even go searching. I say, Holy Spirit, where is it? Great. I've found wedding rings that way just by asking the Holy Spirit. We've lost quite a few things. But I think I have this ability. I could walk into a room and they go, I've got no socks. I can't find socks. I pull up the drawer. There's the socks. It happened just last week. Sam goes, I've lost my new Adidas jumper. I walk into the room. I'm like, it's right there. Like it's in plain sight. It's not even hidden. He goes, it wasn't there a minute ago. I went, like, I don't even have words for these kind of things. We've lost a lot. We've lost a lot. But being short, and my shortest in my family is now 6 foot, all right? Paul's 6'3". Josh is, he's actually probably the short one, 6 foot, and Sam's about 6 foot as well. Six, they're going to be tall. I've just found a way, if I want to hide things from them in the pantry, I go low. Chocolate, low. Healthy food, high. So it's a mystery to them. They can't find chocolate. And it's like, because they would never bend down. So it's good. So anyway, I have this thing about finding things. I've been to lost property many times at school. I'm just one of those mothers, I will not buy you a new hat. I just will not do it. And I've made the kids come with me to lost property. I remember one of my boys came home after school one day, got to the car and I looked at him. We're missing one shoe. Like, you know, it's a pretty obvious thing, one shoe. So he's walked around one whole day with one shoe. And I went, it never, you know, never ceases to amaze me what boys are quite happy to do. And he says, can you take me straight to the shops and buy me a new pair of shoes? I went, no, get out of the car and go and find your shoe. And we stayed there. He goes, I'm not looking. I don't know where to find it. I don't care. Get out of the car. You're finding your shoe. And I remember we looked through bushes. We looked through everywhere. Well, I'm not buying two new shoes when you've got one perfectly good one and you can find the other. So it's a great gift to have, this ability to find stuff. Who's one of my sisters here who can find things? Cool. Who's anointed with a men's anointing and can't find anything? Okay, great. Well, we'll be praying for that at the end. But you know, it's really important that we understand this because I feel like I'm bookending a little bit and we'll have a bit of a laugh. I think we'll seal the deal with a bit of a laugh. But I want to speak on this thought of lost and found. Lost and found. Because so often in life we lose things. And Pastor Naomi just shared so beautifully about how we lose our wonder. Well, I want to add three more things that are easy to lose as women of God. But I also want to talk about how we need to get good at finding things. In the natural, we can find things. But can you find things in the supernatural, the spiritual, if they're lost? And we're going to have a look at Mark chapter 4. I didn't give you these scriptures. I'm so sorry, guys. Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 to 40, just a few verses. It's a passage of scripture we know well. I mentioned it even before. So Mark 4, 35, and it just says this. That day when evening came, Jesus, he said to his disciples, that's him talking, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up. I love that, a furious squall. And the waves broke up the boat, over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. That would really tick me off. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." It's one of those stories you think, wow, it would have been amazing to see that. And I want to talk about this thought of lost and found, because we need to get better at finding things when we lose things. And I'm going to just share three things that the disciples lost, but we need to learn how to find. And we've got to understand the difference from something being stolen as opposed to something being lost. When something is stolen, it is removed from us, okay? If you've ever had something stolen from you, it's really annoying. I remember when our early years of married, Paul always had awful cars, secondhand, you know, like owned by many people, about to die kind of cars. And we had this car, we called it the Barge. It was like a hearse. It was a Mazda 929 station wagon. It was awful. I don't even know why we had it. It's probably all we could afford in that season. And we used to park it out the front because we couldn't fit it in our garage. And I remember one night we got up and it'd been broken into, which was funny in itself because it really was worth nothing. And what they stole from the car was a Bible. You know those funny moments? They broke into the car, stole a Bible, stole a DC Talk cassette. For anyone who remembers DC Talk, love DC Talk. Oh my gosh, I'm showing my age. And they also stole a pair of tracksuit pants that had holes in all inappropriate places. So I never quite understood. I thought, well, maybe the Bible, they'll get saved, listen to good Christian music, but I'll know them by the tracksuit pants they're wearing around Adelaide. And so when something is stolen from you, it's gone. Okay, we need to understand that. But when something is lost, it usually still remains in our possession. We've just got to go and find it. Do we understand the difference from something stolen is gone, but if it's lost? In Revelation, it talks about we've lost our first love. That was the challenge. And the challenge then went on to say, now go back to the place that you lost it. Remember the former things and see that reactivated in your life. And so we need to understand that we've got to be people who know how to find things that we lose. And I want to give you three things. I really feel this just flows on from what Pastor Naomi said today. She was talking about wonder, but I want to give you three really practical things that's easy to lose in our lives. And I want to take it from the life of the disciples. The first thing, it's really easy to lose, but girls, we've got to find it, is our perspective. I find this one really easy to lose. Has anyone ever lost their perspective? I love that the disciples actually thought their life was over. I love the fact that they had Jesus in their boat, we have Jesus in our life, and yet we still feel that everything's out of control. We actually lose perspective. And I can imagine the disciples running around this boat going, "We're about to die. We're about to die. Find Jesus. Where's Jesus? He's asleep." I can imagine them being furious at that very fact. And I wonder how many times in our lives, because of the circumstances, we actually lose our perspective. Isn't it interesting? They lost their perspective based on the storm. They didn't keep it based on who was in their boat. And we need to get better at keeping perspective around us based on who's in our boat, as opposed to the circumstances and the storm that we are facing. You know, our younger son is a bit of a drama queen. And anything, just he can just go on and on. He was one of those kids when he was little, 2 years age, you'd put him to bed. He goes, "You know, can I have this?" And you go, "No, go to sleep. I'll see you in the morning." And in the morning, "Can I have this?" It would literally start again right from the word go. And you go, literally, you slept for 8 hours and he kept it fresh on his mind. It always blew me away. But I remember taking him on holidays with Paul and I, and Paul said, "I'll take him down the pool while I get the little apartment organized." And while they're in the pool, they were literally gone for 10 minutes. He's rushed him back upstairs. Now, the problem was Sam jumped into the pool and he grazed his toes and they started bleeding. Now, the thing is, for the first few minutes, he didn't see any blood. He was fine. He didn't feel any pain. But as soon as he saw the blood, who knows, all hell broke loose in that moment. And this 3 or 4 year old starts screaming at this holiday place, going, oh, I have to go to the hospital. You know, will I lose my toes? And Paul bundled him up, got him back to the room. And it's like, get a grip, get a grip. And I'm probably the tough love mum. Like, focus, focus. Look at me, look at me. You'll be okay. Your toes are fine. You know, he lost perspective. And I tell you, one of the greatest things we lose is perspective. You know, we actually serve a God who is in control. Pastor Naomi said all of this. A God who has plans for us that he knows. The problem is we don't know them. He knows them. He says, I know the plans. I know the plans I have for you. He didn't say, hey, let me share you all the plans. You know, we serve this incredible God and we can actually make statements, very bold statements about who God is. We can tell our friends, well, God's in control. You know, just let Jesus have the steering wheel. You know, who's driving your car? Is it Jesus or are you back in control? I mean, these are the cliches from youth group, aren't they? You know, oh, you know, give it over to Jesus. You know, all these things. I'm trying to think what the other one we used to say, you know, oh, I can't even remember. Just some of the stupid things we'd say to each other. And we know how to say those things. But how well do we do when there's a little crisis? Do we lose perspective? And it's something we need to find. And it has to be centered on our eyes seeing Jesus and not the circumstances. You see, they were so fixated on the storm. And it was a bad storm these disciples were in. But they actually had to get fixated on Jesus. Isn't it interesting? This story talks about this furious storm, but it ends with saying, who is this man that even can command the wind and the waves? They'd gone from talking about the furious storm to their eyes actually going, who is this man? And the greatest way to get perspective in our lives is to actually stop looking at the circumstances and actually focus on the man, Jesus himself. That's where we focus needs to be. You know, Proverbs 29:18, we know this scripture well. It says, where there is no vision, people perish. And where we actually don't have a clear vision of God in our circumstances, it says also in another version, people will dwell carelessly. And we've got to be careful that we don't lose perspective. The world is looking at us, and I'm not saying we have bad days, absolutely. But let's get it in correct order that God is still on the throne. God still is a healer. God still is a provider. God is still speaking. He's sending ministering angels. We've actually got to go, you know what? This word is actually true. And we've got to allow it to bring the perspective to our lives rather than what's happening bringing perspective to our lives. And really, all the word perspective means is your point of view. What's your point of view? Because it's really easy to have a fleshly point of view rather than a godly point of view. There's so many things right through the history of the Bible where people said, you know, it just didn't work out the way they thought it would. It's a perspective issue. And we need to get much better at understanding. Don't lose it. We need to get that with God. But you know what? We actually need some good girlfriends who can actually tell you, not pat you on the back and go, oh, I know. Oh, I know. Oh, it's awful. Oh, I hate him too, you know. That's actually not very helpful. Could you imagine the disciples going, it's a bad storm. I know. It's the worst one. I know. And where's Jesus when you need him? I know, I was thinking that myself. Could you imagine that? We laugh at that. Have you ever been in that position? We actually need some people, like my son. Come on, look at me. Get some focus. Has God failed you in the past? Has God, you know, ever let you down? Has God, you know, you go, no, no. What happens in that moment? We bring some perspective to our lives. I love the fact that Paul and Silas in prison, in a dungeon, in chains for doing God's work. I love it. Isn't it? Doing God's work can sometimes bring the greatest harm and issues in our life. And here they are. Could you imagine what the perspective was? We read it and go, isn't that a nice story about praising Jesus in your dark times? Come on, girls, let's just praise Jesus. And if you're anything like me, going, I don't want to. I don't feel it. I've got nothing. No, come on. We've got to just praise Jesus. Come on, let's just do it. You know, Paul and Silas. We've got to understand they're in the deepest, darkest dungeon. They were chained, you know, feet or hands in stocks, having been beaten, you know. And they made a decision. What is my perspective? Is my perspective I'm in prison? Or is my perspective, I have God with me in prison? You see, we've actually got to allow that perspective to come into our lives. Don't lose your perspective. Don't lose it. We need to learn how to find it. And the greatest key in finding your perspective is just asking God simply, open my eyes. You know, I love the story of Elisha. And he was hearing from God, as good prophets do. And he would go to the king and go, hey, the enemy's going to do this. Get ready. And then the enemy would go, how is Elisha destroying all the plans that we can come against God's people? So in the end, this enemy decides, let's bring Elisha in because that will silence the prophet so we can actually take captive God's people. And so anyway, they send an army of thousands to Elisha's house. I tell you what, it'd be a bit of a rude shock if you woke up in the morning, get the milk and the paper, and oh, there's an army out there to come to get us. And his servant, Elisha's servant, went out and he opens the door and I can imagine him like, okay, I'll just shut the door again. And he runs into Elisha and goes, there's an army. There is an army right now that's come to take us. And I love the fact that the man of God, I tell you what, this is the challenge for us. In every season, we've got to find our perspective. Opens the door and stands with his servant. He doesn't have a crisis. He doesn't have a meltdown. Based on the fact of who God has always been in his life, all he simply says to his servant, to God is, he goes, open my servant's eyes. Open his eyes. And in that moment, with his eyes open, not to the natural but the supernatural, he still saw the army, but now he saw God's army surrounding that natural army. That is perspective. When you can go, that is the condition, that is the facts, but right now I actually have a God point of view in this situation. Yes, I have that health diagnosis. Yes, I have that financial statement. There's no point walking around going, no, I'm not in debt. No, I'm not. Or no, I'm not sick. But we've actually got to then change the point of view. Yes, that is the issue, but I know I have a healer. Yes, I know my God is my provider. We need to get a God point of view. So today, if you've lost perspective, and I've been there many times, and I'll be there many more times in the future, we just need to simply say, God, open my eyes. I don't want to be the person at the end who goes, ah, now I see what you are doing. I want to be the person, God, I want to see. I want to see you in the midst. I want to see you in the fire. I want to see you in the storm. That's what we're talking about, what Pastor Naomi is talking about. We want to see Jesus. That's the godly perspective we need in our lives. You know, last year we had this bill come through that was not an expected bill. You know, my first year of marriage, I had to go into counselling just dealing with things called bills that I'd never seen before because my parents just magically paid them and I never saw them. And I'd go, another letter? Oh, another bill? How many bills can you get in a lifetime? So after about 24 years of marriage, I thought I'd adjusted very well. And then we got an unexpected bill. Isn't it crazy? I've been walking with Jesus for a long time. I've been in leadership and ministry for a long time. But because it was unexpected in my life, this one bill rocked me. Absolute rocked me. And I'm like going to the point of, what's the point of all this money I've given to the church and I've sacrificed and I've done all this? What's the point if I'm going to get things like this that come out of nowhere? I can't deal with this. And I'm like, literally, as I'm saying the words, I'm going, you have lost the plot. Have you ever had moments with your own life like that? It's like, who are you? And then because you've started manifesting, you just keep going. And it's just like, I can't reel that one back in. So let's let it all out. And I was so rocked by an unexpected bill that maybe I probably wouldn't have been in the early days when we had nothing, because we lived our life like that. But we'd probably changed over the years. And I remember having to come to God going, I am just seeing this bill. It's on my fridge. It's right there. And I'm going, all I can see, all it is consuming me. And I actually had to really address this thing of a lost perspective. I changed the point of view from being to what I see as opposed to what God is and who He is in my life. And it's such a subtle thing, but we can lose perspective every day. But I want to tell you, you need to learn how to find it. You know, within about 48 hours, I was just so filled with anguish over this bill. I can't even explain it. It was the most, now in hindsight, it always looks ridiculous, doesn't it? Doesn't perspective that you've gone wrong look ridiculous on the other side? And I remember just saying, God, I've got to deal with this. And I had to come back to open my eyes. Open my eyes. I'm like one of the disciples running around a boat going, we're sinking. This is the end. I was literally saying to Paul, well, this is it. This will break us, this one. This is all over. What's the point? I have to sell everything. And literally looking back now, I'm mortified that I even thought that. Because in one moment, you can lose perspective. But I tell you what. In another moment, you can find it. But it has to be based on the person of Jesus. I love that it finished this little passage going, and they were marveling at who Jesus was. That's when your point of view changes. And I want to encourage you right now, if you're in a season or a situation or a crisis where your perspective is just out of whack and it's a little bit extreme, you know, God, I want your point of view. Open my eyes. Open my eyes to see what you see. That's the first thing. So you can lose perspective, but I'm telling you today, you can find perspective. You can find your God point of view. Second one is this. This is a big one. You can also lose peace. This one is massive. Do you know, as the disciples were running around, they lost peace. They lost the sense of Jesus was and is the Prince of Peace. They lost the fact that when Jesus is with us, we actually, you know, it says perfect love casts out all fear. When He is there, we don't need to fear. And we need to address this one. You know, Pastor Naomi had mum chat with you. We need to talk about this peace. Because we have more people today with worry, stress, and anxiety, and yet we've been given the gift of peace. We have a problem. We've lost our peace. We need to know how to find it because this is a massive issue. When I hear about teenagers struggling with anxiety, children struggling with anxiety, we need to come back to the very basics of understanding Jesus is our peace. The outcome you want is not your peace. The solution you desire is not your peace. And I always find when people put their hope in an outcome as opposed to hope in God, it will always be destroyed, this sense of peace. We need to understand, we need to find peace. I love this passage, John 14, 27. This is Jesus speaking. I am leaving you with a gift. Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart. What an incredible gift. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Isn't it amazing that our peace is stolen once we get troubled and we allow fear to walk in the door? And yet Jesus says, I think this is amazing, especially in the times we live. He says, I want to give you a gift of peace in your mind. Who knows, we need that. And peace in your heart. This is a gift. I don't know about you, but I love gifts. You got a magazine. Did anyone reject that magazine just before? when it was given to you, did you go, no, thanks, I don't want a gift? Did anyone say that? I highly doubt it. And if you did, I'll take yours, all right? And I'll bless someone else. You see, we take gifts. When someone gives a gift, we are willing to receive it. And yet Jesus has come to give us peace. And yet so often we go, oh, I don't have peace. I'm living with trouble. I'm living with fear in my life. And yet Jesus goes, but I gave you a gift. Oh, yeah, but I'm living with trouble and I'm living with fear and I'm living with anxiety. But I'm giving you a gift. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, because I'm giving you the gift of peace. And this is an incredible thing. I love what Bill Johnson says. You know, he goes, we lose our peace when we believe a lie. Blows my mind. Do you know you lose your peace the moment you begin to entertain a lie and you come into agreement with a lie? What happened when that bill came into my life? I literally went, we'll never have any money. This is it. We're going to go under. And I actually began to believe a lie. Peace walked out the door and actually anxiety and fear came in its place. And every time we come into agreement with a lie, I am not good enough. I'm not beautiful. I'll never find someone who'll love me. Whatever lie comes in and you actually come into agreement with it, you've actually made room for peace to exit. I tell you what, we've got to actually learn how to find peace. Let's not be people who represent Jesus and yet still walk around with worry and anxiety and stress. One of the greatest hallmarks should be that we carry peace, because we carry Jesus himself with us. It's so important. And I love the fact that in this story of this storm, peace was never about something external. It was only about something internal, because Jesus slept through the storm. You see, the disciples thought peace would be an external thing. It actually came out later to be an external thing when the storm ceased. But peace actually was always something that was starting from within. I want to encourage you today, you can find peace. And today we're going to pray that you find peace in your life. It's such a powerful thing. But I tell you what, it's a gift. I just need to say it again. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. And you just need to receive it. You might need to go, Jesus, I need that gift of peace. Thank you for giving it to me. And I receive it today. I receive that gift, peace of my mind and peace in my heart. I receive it today. And if you've lost it, I declare you're going to find it today. Last one is this. I don't know, we might just have the keyboard play. Is that all right? If the worship team's still here? Yep, that's all right. Come and join me, because we're just going to pray. So you can lose perspective, but you can find it. Open my eyes, Jesus. You can lose peace, but you can find it. Understanding, receive the gift that God's got for you. But the last one is this. You can also lose your faith. Now, hear me on this one. I'm not talking about your belief in Jesus, but I'm talking about faith for the fight. Has anyone ever lost faith for the fight? It's like, take me now, Jesus, take me home to heaven. You know you probably lost your faith for the fight at that point. There have been a couple of times like, oh, Jesus, I don't know if I can do another year. Take me home to be with you. You actually have to go, maybe I've lost my faith to fight for the things that you've actually declared over my life, to actually fight for those words, those promises, what your word declares, for the vision that's still to come. You know, we need to get good at actually finding our faith in God and a faith to fight. I love that. You know, for me, this is a real personal one. And I think I shared it last time I was here. Like when I was 22, I was diagnosed with a rheumatoid arthritis. And I don't know, that's 27 years ago. And it's been a journey. You know, I'd love to say I got healed one day and it was never the same again. And I'm pretty good most times. But you know what? It's been a journey of fighting sometimes. And I find sometimes we can get really weary in the fight. And I'm not talking about physically, come on, I'll take you on. But I'm actually talking about leaning into faith. Not in my strength, not in my ability. Not when I'm on my good day, when I actually feel good for the fight. Some days I feel up for a fight. Bring on any people, because it's usually the wrong kind of fight. But I'm talking about leaning in, how we can lose that sense of faith. God, you can. God, you can. I can't, but you can. And we've got to actually learn how to find that in our lives. And so often in my life, it's been based on the days if I feel good, let's go. I can believe for this. But when the days aren't so good, we've got to lean into that faith that we can go, you know what? Even on this worst day, I can put my full trust that God is able. He is fully able to work on my behalf. You know, I love the story. You know, it talks about the armor of God. But I love this picture of the shield of faith. Isn't it incredible when it talks about the shield of faith? You know, it's holding a shield. And I love that that's a very defiant act in itself. Bring on everything you've got. Come on. I'll take it all. But the problem is, so often as women of God, we've left the shield at home and it's like, oh, bring on everything you've got. And we're taking everything that the world brings because we've left our shield of faith at home. And I'm not talking about a little Captain America shield that, you know, you hide behind. You know, it's funny the other day, I think Wonder Woman was on TV. I love that Wonder Woman. And my husband goes, I actually don't mind this one. This one out of all the superhero ones, pretty good. I went, it's Wonder Woman, Paul. Why are you saying this is your, you know, it was quite a funny moment. Of course you enjoy this one. You know, it's a tribe of glamazon women running around. It was just funny. He said it really innocently. I goes, oh, this is actually not a bad superhero. I went, really? Right. Okay, great. I like Thor, but hey, that's all right. I don't like fat Thor though. That was, I actually loved that. I thought that was awesome. But you know, we need to actually understand faith isn't something you feel. Faith isn't going, well, I prayed 25 hours this week and I read the Bible from front to back. I am ready to take on everything. No, faith is leaning into, I can lean into the goodness of God. I can lean in that He is fighting on my behalf. Faith is just saying, I've got nothing but my God is with me. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, He is with me. That is faith, my friends. Because if faith is something you're waiting to feel, can I tell you, you're going to be pretty disappointed. You're going to be pretty disappointed when you go to a doctor's surgery going, do I have faith to face this diagnosis? No. But you have the shield of faith. You can actually say, God, I want faith right now. And so often I feel we lose that. And you've got to understand, like I said, it's not a little shield. It was a full body armor protecting, you know, shield. And I love it. What is it there to do? To quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The fiery darts, those little things that just keep coming at you day by day. And you know, so often we leave the shield of faith at home. And so what happens? Oh, we take a dart from the enemy. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. And we keep taking them because we've lost faith. And I want to tell you, we've got to lift up that shield of faith. And go, you know what? I am standing in the anointing and the authority that God has got for me. We need some girls ready for the fight. You know, you may have lost it, but I tell you what, you can find it today. It is such a powerful thing. And you need to know where to find your place of faith. I don't know about you, but we all have a place of faith. For me, it's in the Word. My husband knows. He goes, haven't been reading your Bible very much lately? I go, how would you know? Just the way you're speaking, the way you're living your life is just not flowing out of you. He says, because when you're in the Word, you're going, oh, Paul, God spoke to me this week and He said this. And, oh, man, when I read that passage, he goes, you need to get back into the Word. You know, for Paul, where does he find his faith? He goes on prayer walks. He literally goes walking. It's a bit disturbing. I'm not sure what our neighbours think of us because he speaks in tongues very loudly. But you know what? He just walks. And sometimes to me it's like, Paul, go for a walk. Go to that place of faith. Maybe it's worship for you. It's where you get strengthened in God to actually go and fight the fight one more time. And we have to know the place where we can find our faith. And it's not based on who we are. It's based on leaning into God. I want to encourage you, there is a place for the fight that God has got for you. It's such a powerful thing. Look, this is a simple word today and probably going to finish. Oh, we're going to finish now. But I really just felt to share this with you. What we're going to do very simply in a moment, we're going to take a moment and pray for each other tonight. I thought we're going to seal the deal and pray for each other. I think even just some of the words that have been spoken throughout this day, you know, even we can lose our wonder. I tell you what, we need to get back to the place where our wonder is restored. Girls, we can lose our perspective, but let's get our God point of view back today. We can lose our peace, but all we have to realize is we've been given the gift of peace today. And we can lose this fight of faith, but I'm telling you, we can find faith. You just got to know the place to go to find your faith. It's so important. You know, we talked about, Pastor Naomi, we talked about the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' greatest torture place, even before he went to the cross, we had to lay it all on the line. And yet it was the place where he was restored to actually go and do the very thing that God had actually required of him. You can find your faith today for the fight. And so what I want you to do, we're going to stand in this place. And I think it's really good if girls, we're going to pray for each other. So maybe get into pairs or into a group of three. And I just want you very simply, and what have you lost? What have you lost? Have you lost something today? Because I want to pray that you find it. So I want you to take a moment right now and pray for each other. And I'm going to pray for you all at the end. But why don't you do that just right now? That's it. Come on. Everyone can pray. Yeah, just raise your hands right now. Lord, I pray on our hearts today, we walk out with that declaration, you are good. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the circumstances, you are good. In the challenges, in the financial hardships, you are good. In the sickness and life's situations, we declare you are good today. Our hope, our trust, our focus, our faith is in you today, Jesus. And we declare your goodness at work right now. Come on, I want you to praise Jesus in this place. He is worthy. He is good. And he is mighty. He is strong right now. We praise you, Jesus. I just want to pray real quickly for the girls from Orange, and they're praying. Is that Oberon the girl? Oberon, we'll pray for them in a sec. Just come real quickly if you're from Orange right now. If you're from Oberon, come real quickly as well. I'm going to pray for the girls from Oberon as well. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Come on down. It's my quiz show host person. Awesome. That's good. I just want you to raise your hands to heaven. God wants to use you guys powerfully. Lord, I just thank you right now for bringing these women today, Lord God. And I just sense, Lord God, that would even carry something beyond right now. I just speak over, is it Pastor Emma? Is that right, Pastor Emma in Orange? I just saw this next season, God wants to give you some strategies for reaching your community. There's been faithfulness and there's been sowing. I just see like you've been tilling the ground. But I really believe there's going to come some strategic opportunities in your community that's literally going to put the spotlight on the church, and people are going to go, that's a place we need to have connection with, even with some local government or local business or whatever. I just see they're going to want connection with the church. And I see these partnerships taking place. So Lord, I pray for wisdom and discernment, Lord God. And I just pray that the church would be the light of that community, Lord God. And there'd be a sense of community and church coming together where the church has been separate, the church and community are coming together. And there's going to be, I tell you, strategic things. They're going to come from God on ways to open up the community. So Lord, I pray that you would reveal that and you would do that. And I declare for Orange, the finest days are ahead, Lord God. I thank you for the past. I thank you for the heritage. heritage, but right now that this church won't be known for the past, it'll be known for the future. So Lord God, that you would open up that city, that regional area right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare it. We thank you, Lord. And I haven't met you. Are you the pastor? Joe. Good name. Awesome. Is that what we are? Oh, good. We're a gift from God. Just raise your hands. Lord, I pray. I pray over this town, this area, Lord God, right now, where there have been forces at work to bring destruction in people's lives. Right now, I speak the prosperity and the blessing and the peace over this town right now, over this area right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I just even just sense where there have been devices to pull down this area, Lord God, right now, we just declare that righteousness would come in, Lord God. And I see reversal. I don't know what anything about Oberon at all, but I see a reversal, where there have been legacy issues for many generations right now, a reversal in the name of Jesus. So Lord God, we declare an awakening to take place right now. And all those things that have been intended for evil, you're going to turn around for good. I even sense a decline in alcohol consumption and drug addiction right now, of broken homes and domestic violence right now, where it's been difficult to get a job. I declare prosperity is coming right now. So I pray that you would raise the church in this hour, Lord God, to lead, not to sustain, but to lead. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, use them to birth a revival, Lord God, a reversal taking place. I pray for a spiritual reversal as well, Lord God, where people have walked away, you're bringing them back. In Jesus' name, we declare that right now. So one more time, girls, I just want you to raise your hands in this place, right across this place. And Lord God, I pray for every woman that is here right now. God, I speak blessing upon them. I speak blessing on their families, their marriages, their children, their finances, their workplaces. Lord God, on the gifts of their life, Lord God, whatever areas you've called them to, I speak blessing right now, Lord God. And I even just sense for women here, where there's been a restriction, I kind of feel like for some women, a restriction. Right now, you're walking into abundance. Abundance right now. Where there's been a holding back, I tell you what, the floodgates are opening right now. So Lord God, pour out on your women today. Lord God, let us have your viewpoint in every situation. Where there have been things we've seen as impossible, God, let us see the God possibilities. And I pray for women, they would walk out with peace today. For women who haven't slept in a long time, let them sleep with peace tonight. And God, I pray we'd find faith to lean into. Lord, reignite it, that we would hold up that shield of faith and go, whatever the enemy brings, not in my strength, but God with me can overcome everything. Lord, I pray your blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's give praise to God one more time. He's a good God. Awesome.